You're in a totally different time period. And if you're going to stick by the stuff, if you're going to do the right thing, you're going to be left behind by this world. Because in a day when men shall be lovers of the moon selves, and in a day when so many people that believe they're saved are still lost because they're counting on something they did. And in the Baptist churches, it's I prayed a prayer. I went down front. I got baptized. It's not a matter of he did this for me. It's a matter of this is what I did to get saved. Or this is what I did when I led somebody to the Lord. They taught me exactly what to say and what to do. I was reading one of the prayer letters from one of our missionaries this morning. There was four people that they said had gotten saved. Most of them were children. And they were led to the Lord by brother so-and-so. I really hope they get saved. I'm sure some of those people really do get saved. One of them that really got saved that I went through the plan of salvation with, he's still in church and he's still doing the right things. Rod Peterson, he's been out here. But the idea is that God did that. And when I knocked on that door on a Saturday morning looking for bus kids, I usually wouldn't get distracted by anything. If there was no children in that house, I just keep on going. And I knocked on that door and I told him we were visiting the area, you know, looking for some children who'd like to ride to Sunday school on a bus and so forth. I looked in there at that room and there was very few pieces of furniture in a nice home. And I said, oh, something wrong here. And so instead of just leaving like I normally would, the Spirit of God just compelled me to stay. And I know it's different. I can look back at those things and I can tell when he's involved and when he's not. And when he got involved in that thing, I said, well, would you mind if we come in for a few minutes and talk to you? No, that'd be all right. He and his wife had gotten divorced. And the reason the house was half empty is because she got all the rest of the stuff. But I remember when we sat there at his table, I can still see it. Before he ever prayed, I said, now, you know, if you don't want to do this, don't do it. I mean, this thing is not a matter of me telling you what to do and you doing something. This is a matter of God touching your heart and dealing with you. He said, no, I want to pray. When he prayed, he got crying. Man, I go for that. And the reason I go for that is because that's an emotional connection. And that emotional connection can be made in all kinds of things. But I've never seen anybody get emotionally connected to salvation that didn't get saved. They become a different person. They become a new creature in Christ Jesus. And that's what you got to see. If you don't see that new creature in Christ Jesus, all you got something that's cookie cutter. Because that person has to be a totally different person afterward. That's what makes the difference. And one other thought I had this morning, just kind of off the subject a little bit from that, looking at that prayer request list, and I pray for those people. I try to remember them, and they come to mind, and especially Don. I've been through some of that stuff, and I really hate it for them. I didn't get involved in drugs and a bunch of the other stuff at all. And I just did it the hard way without anything. But it was like 3 years. I had no emotions at all. They were just dead. And I remember driving up Chemstrand Road one day. And I caught myself whistling. I haven't felt like doing that for years. But the thought that I had was, I wonder how many of the people we pray for when we see them at the judgment are going to say, why didn't you pray for my salvation more than my health? You prayed about all this other stuff for me, but you left out the most important thing. And there isn't anything much more we can do for somebody but pray that the Lord will deal with their heart. Give them another chance. Send somebody else by. Do something. Don't just let them keep going the way they are. Now, this lesson here is something that I still haven't gotten over from last week. And that was that when I began to study the lesson, the week before, I'd actually written down sources of truth. And I still haven't gotten past that. And the reason why is because I've been saved since 1973. And from that time up until last week, I really thought that I could get truth from a preacher, I could get truth from somebody that was an evangelist or a Sunday school teacher, and if nothing else, I could get the truth out of this book. This is the Holy Bible. And God stopped me last week while I was trying to write that stuff down, and I'd write something down with, well, that ain't right, and I'd have to erase that, and I'd write the next one, no, that ain't right. I got to the Bible, and I started writing that down, and I said, wait a minute. all of these people have a Bible that say exactly the same thing mine says, and they all have different opinions about what it means. I said, you can't even get it there. Although it contains the truth, without understanding, all you get is what you decide it means. And we're so vulnerable to what we believe and want to believe. And when I say want to believe me, the worst thing in a person's life is their sense of pride that wants to believe they're right about everything and they'll defend that no matter what. So if you read something that's contrary to you, you immediately come to the conclusion, well, that must not mean exactly what it said. For example, you tell somebody they don't have to be baptized to be saved. I'll show you over here about the thief on the cross. Well, it doesn't say he wasn't baptized, so he must have been. They even get so ridiculous as they get blatant about that crazy stuff. The truth is, we keep defending what we want to believe because of our pride. That's what gets offended. Now, I'm kind of a slow learner. Most of us are slow learners, especially when it comes to the Lord, and we're even slower at doing something God wants us to do about it. So the only thing I can say in justification of where he brought me this morning is maybe it's all for me. When that reality got a hold of me this week, I thought about it over and over and over and over. And the simple truth is, I have not availed myself of the Spirit of God to give me leadership in all kinds of areas. Why? Because I'm way too self-reliant. I can fix stuff. I can build stuff. I've memorized all kinds of stuff out of the book, and so these verses fit and all the rest of that stuff. I wonder how many things in my life, if the Lord actually showed me, so now here's where you were looking for truth, here's where I gave it to you. It started out with eternal security. That was it. Lord, it doesn't make any sense to me. I want the truth. I'm not trying to justify what I think or not think. I want the truth. And he showed me. I wonder how many times I've just gone ahead and come to a conclusion and left it at that. And he just lets me believe it. I know that clear up until 2007, he pretty much left me alone with my own thoughts, my own desires. Pretty soon, it's easy to listen to somebody else. It's easy, especially if they say what you like to hear. It's easy to just accept that as absolute truth. You don't look any further when you get to that point. And the simple truth is, every one of us should be looking to God, the Holy Spirit, for leadership in every single thing we do every day. But we don't do it. And the reason why is because we've become comfortable doing things our way all the time. That's where we're at. Go back over to Proverbs 3 again. We'll get there in a minute. Now, this is the same kind of stuff. It's phrased a little different. Faith is the assent of the mind to the truth. That basically is what people think of their opinions. They think, I came to this conclusion, so therefore it's true. That's what they would think that their opinion is. It's the truth. How come? Because I decided it was. Our decisions don't mean anything unless they're based on reality. And the best thing we can decide is to follow God's leadership. That's the best thing we can decide. And if you decide to do that, then you won't have any confidence in the flesh at all. You'll say, Lord, I have no idea what to do. You're going to have to just give it to me. And you can tell when the Lord gives you enlightenment. When he gives you something, you know it was him that gave it to you. That's not some little thing that just comes and goes and, oh, well, it doesn't matter. My wife comes home from the grocery store and tells me, Lord showed me this, Lord showed me this. I was praying about this and he led me to that. Look at this, look at that. Why does she come home and tell me that stuff? She didn't tell me about the rest of the stuff she bought. Because it means something. It stands out. It's salient events in your day. Anyway, faith is the assent of the mind to the truth. Opinion is the judgment which the mind forms. Now, people believe it's infallible in spite of their past history. For example, if you have an opinion about something, you don't think there's any possibility that it's wrong until somebody confronts you about it. You just go on like, that's absolute, and you promote it, you practice it, and you teach it, you propagate the idea, because you don't ever question yourself. When was the last time you actually questioned yourself? Well, last time I did something, it was a disaster. But I only question myself in that one decision. That's the only time we feel like we're questioning ourselves, is when it turns into a mess. When something bad happens to us, that's when we start questioning ourselves. What's a judgment? A judgment is a determination. It's a decision. That's what you do. You make a decision to believe something that your mind formed around and said, yep, I believe that's so. I'm going to act on it. I don't know how many times I've been working on something and figured this is what's wrong with it and go ahead to do all of this stuff, and that ain't what's wrong with it at all. Sometimes it actually takes an effort to dig into something to find out if it's so or not so. But there's a lot of times that I've just gone ahead with something, Lord blessed a bunch of them, and it came out okay. But I didn't ask for his leadership first, other than to say, Lord, bless me today and help me in things and keep me safe. I don't ask him on the individual levels. Maybe pray for the day or pray the Lord to take care of us, keep us safe. But what about which direction to drive to a certain place? You say, we've got delayed. Here's this wreck. Lord kept us out of that. You know what that is? If that's the case, then that's him coming in after the fact because you didn't even bother asking. And he kept you out of trouble. Wouldn't it be a whole lot nicer if you consulted him first about everything? That's what he wants. That pleases him. Isn't it a whole lot better for the kids to ask you about something first? Isn't that more pleasing to you when they regard what you think as something important? And we make mistakes. He doesn't. And he's given us the Spirit of God to lead us into the right place. We all have it individually. And he wants us to come to him and ask him. And yet we still have confidence in the flesh. We still do things our own way. And then we wonder why things don't go right. And guess who we blame when they don't? The other guy. Every time we blame somebody else for the things that happens. Judgment, determination, or a decision. Those things are all something that you decide. What's an assent? An assent is the act of the mind in admitting or agreeing to the truth of a proposition. That sounds more like something where, oh yeah, that makes sense. I see it from here all the way up, and yeah, infallible. Boy, that's a fact. That's not exactly true. It's the act of the mind in admitting or agreeing to the truth of a proposition. Now here it's a little clearer. Faith is the assent to any proposition on the credit of the proposer.
What verse are you in?
That verse isn't even in the Bible. Those are dictionary definitions out of the 1828. We haven't even got to Proverbs yet. The idea is to really thoroughly understand this stuff so that we can actually do something with it. You know, it's one thing for somebody to say, you need to change the spark plugs, and the guy doesn't have any wrenches. He don't even know where to find a spark plug on the engine. Wouldn't know which ones to put on there even if he had some of that stuff. It's a whole different ballgame for the Lord to give you something. For you to act on it, you have to have more thorough, more complete information about it. And the first thing that has to happen is we have to realize we're fallible. We make mistakes. And if we're going to ever get to the point where we can count on what we're doing being right, we need an answer from Him. You know what we like to do? We like to ask somebody else first. If we can't solve it ourselves, if we don't come to a conclusion ourselves, then the next thing we do is we go ask somebody else. We ought to be asking Him first. And we shouldn't be trusting ourselves. And we certainly shouldn't trust anybody else. It doesn't mean you can't ask them. It doesn't mean you can't form an opinion about it. But you keep all of that stuff under suspicion. You say, well, I appreciate that help. Yeah, I really appreciate that. What are you going to do about it? Nothing yet. I'm going to wait for clarification. I'm going to wait for some understanding. Faith is the assent to any proposition on the credit of the proposer. An opinion, therefore, is based on faith in yourself. You form an opinion because you have confidence in yourself. You propose the idea. It's not that somebody else gives you an opinion. You reach an opinion. That's what you do. It's a judgment that the mind forms. That judgment is based on confidence in yourself. So if you get upset when somebody challenges you, that's pure pride. I've been there lots of times. In fact, most of the problems that we have in life, it's only by pride cometh contention. And it doesn't have to be somebody picking a fight. All they've got to do is say something you disagree with, and immediately your feathers are ruffled. That's right. That's how much of our life is just eaten up with this stuff, and it's the wrong direction all the time. You say, I liked hearing about it last week, but now you're expecting me to do something about it? No, I don't. In fact, God doesn't even expect you to do anything about it. He just said, you want to do this thing right. You become a doer, not just a hearer. You actually put it into practice. You actually start looking for Him in these things and put some effort in and trying to find the right answer first. When you see somebody defending themselves, that has to do with your pride. You shouldn't have any pride about anything. We shouldn't. We don't have any right to have any pride. It's just the flesh. That's what it is. We were of our father the devil, and this stuff is still just like that. This is the old man. Where'd he come from? He was born into sin, and he was of his father the devil. That stuff. The part of me that's a new creature, that thing is born of the Word. And that is a brand new creature, and it's got a whole different set of desires and a whole different appetite. And the problem is that this stuff goes out on its own and gets messed up because that new nature inside of me is not strong enough, and I'm relaxed and resting on the fact that I can make a good decision, so I just go out and make it, and then after that, then I got a problem. Now, faith is based on trusting one who sets forth a proposition. You've got a problem with a car. Guy says, I think I know about that. I'll tell you about it. Now, if that guy's a really good mechanic, you have a tendency to kind of take that to the bank and do something with it. If the guy's busted nearly everything he's ever worked on, you're not going to listen too much to him. So the more confidence you have in somebody, the more you'll have a tendency to listen to them and consider it. The faith you have in yourself and in others is all subject. It's something that still should be under suspicion. We should not come to the conclusion that we're right. What we should do is leave that door open for the Lord to show us. Now, it doesn't matter if it doesn't affect you. Like what? Some people have an opinion that the moon landing didn't really happen. It was all backstage. Hollywood did it. The government did it for some crazy reason that they have ideas about. It doesn't matter about that. What difference does that make? You might have an opinion about it even. You might say, well, I think it was real. Some things don't matter whether you form an opinion or not. If it does make a difference, a slight importance, for example, what brand of food you buy, what clothes, those things do make a little bit of difference. But they're not something that's going to be a disaster. You don't like that flavor of coffee, buy a different flavor next time. That's easy to fix. But your choice in a brain surgeon is going to be real important. You say, well, I don't choose a brain surgeon. I let my doctor do it. Mm-hmm. That doctor that worked on my wife, we didn't just go to a hospital and say, I hope you got a good one. And I went to somebody that was in the business. She was running that operating room. She was in there running that whole operating theater on the weekends for 3 days, 12 hours a day. She knew all the surgeons. She knew who was good and who wasn't good. Those people know who they're going to let cut their head open, believe me. And that was the decision we made. That was the best I could do at the time. What should I have done? I said, Lord, you lead us to the right one first. And then you got to be sensitive for His leadership. You got to be looking for His leadership. You can't just come to the conclusion of, well, she knows, so I can trust her. He knows, I'll trust him. That's when you get in real trouble. That same person led me to the doctor with my gout that messed me up for years. You know what? During that whole time, I never prayed and said, Lord, what's wrong with this thing? Give me some leadership. I kept trusting that doctor. That's what we do. And worse than that, we trust ourselves more implicitly than we trust somebody else. And we don't have a right to trust either ourselves or them. You say, well, are you saying that we got to go through life afraid of everything? No, that's not it. There's another way around it. When something gets real serious, you say, what do you mean real serious? When it's really important, when it's essential, when it's vital, when it has eternal consequences, that's when the things that you do really make a difference. For example, there's a lot of people going to hell. In fact, the vast majority of people on this earth are on their way there Or if they've lived and died are already there. And they're going to end up in the lake of fire. Now those things are deadly serious. You can't get more essential than that right there. Or for people going to heaven, well, I'm going to heaven, so it really don't matter. Wrong. Anything that affects your quality of eternal life makes a difference. Well, what about people going to hell, lake of fire? Some of them will receive a greater damnation, the Bible says. So what does that mean? I don't want to know. I don't plan on ever finding out. They're going to find out stuff I don't even want to know about. I already know too much about hospitals. I already know too much about dying. I didn't even want to know this stuff. Didn't have to worry about it for years. But when you get old enough, pretty soon you start learning how to die and how people die. Stuff you don't really want to know about, but you're going to be thrust into it. The other side of that thing is you can either receive a greater damnation if you're lost, or you can be more in God's favor when you get there to meet Him. And I'm not even talking about rewards that these churches talk about. You know what's wrong with preaching about rewards? Rewards is all about what you get out of your relationship with Him. It's not what He gets. If you're in God's favor, it's because He favors you. Why? Just like Enoch. Why did He favor Enoch? He liked him. Why did He like him? He enjoyed his presence. He enjoyed his company. He enjoyed his fellowship. You know, the only way that God can enjoy your fellowship is when you're having fellowship with Him. That's just a brand new thought. What we do is we go through life and constantly pray for relief and for help and a bunch of other stuff. Now, over here in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Now, this thing right here, it kind of brightened it up for me. This kind of turned the light up a little bit more on this little paragraph. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. I don't remember the last time I asked the Lord where I needed to buy gas. But I have. When did I do it? Well, last time I bought some gas, I've been thinking about a bunch of this stuff. I said, Lord, I've neglected to ask you about all kinds of stuff. I find myself asking Him which way to go to get to a certain place when I leave the house. I said, Lord, is there any better way to go? Avoid the traffic, get there quicker? Just show me, just give me an impression, whatever you want. Otherwise, I'll just do what I normally do. But if He doesn't give me direction at that time, I'm not going to just sit at home and wait for Him to show me something. Sometimes the Lord will leave you to yourself just to see what's in your heart. A lot of times He'll do that. Well, the idea is to stay sensitive to Him the whole time. That's what's in your heart. I'm looking for You to show me, Lord. I'm waiting on You. I'm believing that You've got the right answers for me. It's not me taking confidence in myself and saying, I can get there on my own. Don't worry about it. Kind of like that guy sliding off the roof. Lord, help me, Lord, help me. Whoop. Oh, never mind, Lord, the nail caught me. It ain't like that. Who can you trust? You can't trust people. I've never found one person I can trust. Even my wife. One time we were building that house, next thing I know, she's telling me we got $10,000 less than we had the day before. Just a math error. Who can you trust? She loves me implicitly. Don't you think I could trust that? I could if she was inerrant. If she never made a mistake. Can she trust me? I'll make mistakes doing the very best I can to do something for her. I'll try to help her with stuff. Don't do that. Don't stir that stuff so hard on the stove. I'm just trying to do the best I can. Can you trust yourself? You don't even need to answer that question. So why do we do it? Why do we trust ourselves so implicitly? Pride. That's that flesh that's part of that sin nature that we have. How much can you trust God? Completely. If He's the only one you can trust, then He should get all of your trust. Not just a part of it. That thing should be complete confidence and reliability on someone who is inerrant, that's not only inerrant, loves you more than you can possibly love Him, has promised you that He'd give you direction, and yet we just, when things get tough, That's when we start asking. That before things get tough, we should be talking to him. We should be looking for his advice, his leadership, way in advance of having any of these problems. That's the way it should go. If you don't trust him, who's it going to affect? Well, it'll affect my whole family if I make a bad decision. Not necessarily. You say, what are you talking about? Well, it says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. He's wrong. That's between him and God. Your problem is doing what he says. Husbands, love your wives and give yourselves for them. Well, she ain't worth it. You see how this thing goes? God can take care of one person by themselves no matter what else happens. Joseph was no accident. That wasn't a matter of circumstances. And if you do what God says, he will not only take care of you, he'll give you the grace and he'll give you peace in the midst of chaos. Somebody else making bad mistakes and bad decisions and you're having to be drug along with them, you can be sitting in that car going the wrong direction and you just sit there with peace. Everything's fine with me. We're going the wrong way, but look at how fast we're getting there. It won't bother you a bit. That's how God takes care of people and still gives other people freedom to make a disaster out of their life. If you're going to trust in God, that's the way he'll take care of you. He doesn't take care of you by making everything perfect. He doesn't take care of you by fixing every issue and every person you run across. That's not the way it works. Don't trust yourself. What do you mean? Well, you trust in yourself, you're going to be living in fear. But you don't have to. All you got to do is trust him. Quit trusting yourself. Haven't you ever worried about making the wrong decision? How come? That's because you don't trust yourself to make a decision about some things. You don't have enough information. Let him do what he said he's going to do. We don't let him do it. We don't even give him an opportunity sometimes. I'm prone to do things without consulting God. I get to the point where if something doesn't work, I start praying about it. But I don't pray about it before I start. And that's when I should be praying about it. Say, now, Lord, I got this problem with this engine. I got this problem with the trailer park. I got this problem with the house. Lord, I'm not sure which way to go about doing this thing, but if you'll show me what to do, I'll do it your way from the very beginning. You help me with it. Most of the time it comes back to, Lord, I can't figure this thing out. Would you show me? And sometimes he'll wait for a day or two. You know why? Because I deserve to be taught a little bit of a lesson. Say, why didn't you ask me first? So worry about it. You're not bothering to trust me that I will give you the answer when you need it. So you just go ahead and worry about it. Maybe I'll get your attention next time. We get used to doing things our way. I do. So we don't really need God's help. You ever ask God about which store to go to? No, I always go to this store. Lord, I hate going to Walmart. Maybe that's where we're supposed to go sometimes. Maybe we're supposed to go to another store. We don't even ask him. I got to go get this, jump in the car, take off. Do you realize in the fast-paced life that we've lived in these last 50 years, how things have speeded up to the point now that a millisecond makes a difference? Your life can either be taken or left based on a millisecond nowadays. Things are moving so fast. Back when a horse and buggy, you didn't have to worry about a head-on collision with another buggy and you getting airbags in your face. You didn't have to worry about lighting a candle or lighting a fire and being frustrated because it took 4 seconds longer to get warm, like you do with your computers when you turn them on. If that thing slows down just a little bit, this thing is dying on me. I need a new computer. That's those other people downloading cookies into it anyway. We don't need God's help. We don't bother worrying about it. How many times have you prayed for deliverance versus how many times you've prayed for direction? You know what we do? We pray constantly for deliverance. We pray for deliverance for ourselves and deliverance for everybody else. Why is it? Because we don't avail ourselves of what God has already told us he would do for us. Why don't we do it? Because we put confidence in the flesh and because we're impatient. People abuse their bodies, then they pray for relief. Pray for my diabetes. Where'd it come from? I don't know. In life, you do something over and over and over and over, and finally it catches up to you. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Now, there's the other side of that coin. That's genetics. Some people can get away with doing all kinds of stuff and it never bothers them. Other people get caught in it. We're living on a cursed planet. You understand that? You know why you get sick? It's not because you sinned. Because you'd never get well if that was the case. It's because we're living on a sin-cursed planet. You know why we have to kill animals to eat them? Because we're living on a sin-cursed planet. That's why sickness, that's why there's thorns on a rose. And there's genetics that are fouled up and messed up. But at the same time, there's people that go out skydiving and break legs or snow skiing and break legs and stuff like that. It wasn't because of genetics. That was because you did something wrong. And we do things wrong all the time. And then all we do is just pray for deliverance. God's not being fair to me. What do you mean, fair? You want me to be fair? You want what you really deserve? Never mind, Lord, just leave me alone. I think I'll be okay. We trust doctors, then we pray for God to heal us. Isn't that thing kind of backwards? Lord, I don't even know what's wrong with me, so you show me. You give that doctor leadership. Help him when I get in there to take consideration about what's going on and not just walk in assuming I'm just going to be like the last 50 patients that he saw, that he never reads anything in the charts, that he just turns around and says, you need to take this drug. How come? Because the salesman just left and that was the last thing on his mind. You would be shocked if you knew what really goes on behind the scenes in those doctor's offices with people trusting them with their lives. That's an issue. We try various things instead of asking God to show us first. Don't you do that when you got a problem? Don't you try this and then try that and try another thing to make it work first? You know, when you finally get there, it's when your efforts are frustrated. I can't make this thing work. Help me out here. Of course, some people, they don't even do that. They just take a big sledgehammer and smash it to pieces. I try a lot of things first and then I ask God to show me. I should be asking Him first to show me. We're impatient, especially these days. Psalms 27:14. I'm going to read this to you real quick. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Where does courage come from? There's a little old poem that says, courage is armor that a blind man wears, the callous scars of outlived despair. Courage is fear that has said its prayers. That's where courage comes from. Courage is praying about it and trusting God to take care of it. That's where courage comes from. When you get to that level and you trust God to do it, you just relax. And if you're really trusting Him, God gives you grace. We have need of patience. And in this day and time, that's one of the most lacking things in our lives. Everything is moving so fast and you feel like you have to get this done and have to get that done. And the further you go down the road, the further behind you seem to get. The hurrier I go, the behinder I get. Now that's true in my life. Finally, you just need to let go. How much stuff are you going to leave undone? I know Brother Selden was digging post holes. And he got to where he couldn't dig the post holes. I was going to go up there and help him. He said, well, I'm just going to put these two in. Never got them done. I'm going to leave it. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Well, that verse that says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. You know what we do? We want it yesterday. Lord, give me patience. Now. Right now. Even when we ask, we don't really trust. How many times have you actually prayed for the Lord to do something and then relaxed and let Him handle it? Instead of praying again and again and again and again and again and again. That's not trusting. Trusting is you ask one time and then let Him do it. Turn it over to Him. Let Him have it. Jesus Christ only prayed three times. How many times do we pray? And yet that verse in the Bible says, they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. We think maybe God didn't hear us the first time. Maybe I didn't say it seriously enough. Well, keep on praying. The effectual, fervent prayers of a righteous man availeth much, right? He didn't say the effectual, fervent, many prayers. He didn't talk about praying again and again and again. Now, if you get some relief from that, okay. Our problem is that something's really bothering us. We pray about it over and over and over and over. Why? Because it didn't quit bothering us. Why didn't it quit? Because we're not trusting God. It's that simple. We pray about these things on the prayer request list. I believe in praying for those things, especially when they're brought to mind. But you're not going to get God to move just because you pray 20 times a day over a certain thing. He's got his own way of doing things. The most effective way that you can get God's involvement is to turn it over to him and trust him and then watch him work. How come? Because then he gets the credit. And our problem is when he does answer a prayer, all we get is relief. He doesn't get glory out of that. The only way he gets glory is when you watch him do something, know he did it. Lord, you are something else. I'll give you this little tiny thing. It won't mean much to you probably. I was watching something the other day on TV, and I'm looking at a person's face and a profile and two or three of them, and all of a sudden it dawned on me again what genius this stuff is. This is just sinful flesh. This stuff is incredible. Do you realize that your noses only grow on the front of your face? That protrusion of just skin cells and cartilage and all that stuff with two pipes going up into your sinuses does not grow anywhere but right there. How come? How come it doesn't grow someplace else? Why wouldn't there be a case when you don't even get one? You say, well, there might be some of those. Yeah, but look at how many there are. How does God get this stuff to do what he gets it to do? Now, that's somebody you can trust, believe me. If you ever needed somebody that knows how to do something, he's the one. And he can get us out of all kinds of trouble and everything else. Why don't we trust him? Because we're relying on ourselves. That's the problem. We keep trusting ourselves. And then when we pray, it's only a matter of an obligation or an insurance policy. Lord, I prayed about this thing. I'm buying that car. Are you sure you need it? Yep, I prayed about it. What'd God say? You wouldn't know because you are so ate up with yourself, you wouldn't even be able to hear a whisper. The flesh is yelling, give me so loud, you couldn't respond to God's spirit if you tried. It's a spirit. It's not a loudspeaker. It's not an intercom. It's his spirit. You got to be sensitive to his spirit. Of course, then the other side of that thing is maybe he won't respond because you already offended him. You've grieved him to the point he doesn't want anything to do with you anyway. So just do it your own way for a while. Maybe when you reach bottom, then you'll start looking up. We worry because we don't trust. If you actually trusted God and you prayed about something and turned it over to him, you let it go. The way you know you didn't let it go is because he didn't give you any grace. You didn't get any peace. The way you know you're still hanging on to it is you did not give it to him and make it his problem because you can't do anything about it. If you turn it over to him and give it up because now it's his problem because I can't fix it. Problem is, we panic. We do it our way. I got to do something. I got to do something about my kids. What are you going to do about them? Lord, I don't know what to do about them. He does. I mean, you know, maybe a bunch of kids are messed up even in churches because the parents never bothered praying about what to do and how to raise them to start with. They just started doing what was in their own convenience. Kids makes me mad, and I'll discipline them. Like he said, we discipline our children for our own pleasure. What's that? They've taken away my pleasure. They made me mad, so I get pleasure out of popping them back. I get some revenge. How about asking the Lord about that stuff up front? Well, it's too late. They're already grown up. Well, then turn them over to God because he made them. And if you can't do that, then just live frustrated. There's only two choices. You're either going to trust or live a frustrated life. Which one do you want? Well, in order to do that and live victorious, you're going to have to make some changes. You can't do the same thing again and again and expect a different result. I think that's definition of insanity, matter of fact. We panic and do things our way because we don't trust Him. We try to fix things ourselves. Then we mess it up. Then we ask forgiveness. Lord, help me. I'm sorry. I did it my own way again. I forgot to ask you. Well, at least maybe under those conditions, after you're reminded a dozen times, maybe you'll start thinking about it first. Our problem is we just go through, make a mess of it, pray for relief. God doesn't give us any relief. And the thing just either becomes a great big disaster, or slowly it fades out to where it's not that big of a problem anymore, or it's too late, the date's already passed, now the IRS is after me. Oh, God, what am I going to do? Send me some money. Well, if you'd asked me up front, maybe I'd have helped you up front. How are you going to teach somebody? How do you teach somebody something? Well, one way to do it is to let them mess it up first if they won't listen to you. Isn't that right? I mean, you know, you try to help your kids out, show them something. They don't want your help. They're going to do it their own way. You know it's going to be a mess. What do you do? Push them out of the way and fix it yourself? No, let them mess it up. Maybe that's what God does with us. We try to fix people. You can't fix people. Only God can fix people, and He's not going to do it. And you're trying to fix people that God gave the freedom to do the same thing He gave you freedom to do. Oh, God, do this with my kids. Do that with my family. Do this with so-and-so. Do that with so-and-so. What in the world are you worried about somebody else for like that? Well, it hurts me that they're living like that. It hurts him too. He's given them the freedom. You know what your problem is? Your problem is you haven't got the thing right. So then every one of us should give account of himself to God. This thing is for us on an individual level. This is not collective. This is not me and my wife. This is me and God. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct my path. That's directly to me. And I can do that independent from everybody else that I've ever met. And God can deal with me independently from everybody else I ever met. Now that's one paragraph in the Bible, and it's 27 words. You know what 27 is? It's 3 times 9. You know what 9 is? It's the number of blessing. That thing is multiplied times 3. The number of blessing, which is happiness. You want to be happy? It's either trustworthy or not. And if you're going to find out whether or not you can trust that, the only way to do it is start trusting Him to prove it to you. You can't trust me, because if I tell you anything, I'm going to tell you, yeah, trust that. Just turn it loose. Let God do it all. That's what I'm going to tell you. You know, that may not be what God tells you. God may not say anything to you, and He'll see whether or not you're going to actually come to Him next time before you start making a mess out of something, or if you're going to ask Him for direction the next time. Nope, you don't do it. Oh, you forgot already? Okay, well, make a mess out of it again. And you say, well, I did trust God. Really? How much did you trust Him? When did you trust Him? It's whether we eat or drink, we ought to be doing all things to His glory. Amen. You can't do things to the glory of God if you're dependent upon yourself, even if you get good results. Even if it does work, you can't give Him glory for it because you did it. If you want God to get glory out of it, you need to approach Him with it and then give Him credit for everything that happens good. And there's no telling what He'd actually do for us if we consulted Him first and then trusted Him and allowed Him to do it. And when He does it, recognize He did it and give Him the credit for it. Let's close in prayer.